At the Sound Healing Center, we have four main things going on: the Institute, the Sound Healing Store, the Sound Therapy Center, and the Sound Healing Research Foundation. At Globe Institute, we offer two sound healing certificates and one audio recording certificate. All of them are also offered online, as well as in person here in Sausalito, outside of San Francisco. We're the only state-approved college in the entire United States that offers sound healing. David has created the number one selling books in the field of audio recording and sound healing. In recording, there's The Art of Mixing and The Art of Producing, and in sound healing, The Complete Guide to Sound Healing. He's also written a book on sound-loving relationships, creating harmony in loving relationships, including many sound healing techniques. It's all about being whole on your own, heart open. The Sound Healing Store has over 400 sound healing instruments and technologies. We also have a physical store where you can experience everything. In the store, we've got over 100 CDs and downloads. We've got all of my books. We have a full range of instruments, including crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, didgeridoos, gongs, drums, rattles, tuning forks, and a full range of melodic instruments. We also have a wide range of consciousness-raising technologies, including sound chambers. We have sacred geometries and pendants, color and light therapies. We also have our brainwave assessment kit software and the voice analysis software. We got a contract with the largest dementia company in Northern California, and we've created 8 different protocols that have been implemented there for the last 2 years, and it's transformed the place dramatically. Check it out at soundfordementia.com. And we've got a full range of vibroacoustic tools. We make sound lounges, sound tables, sound vests, sound pillows, sound dolphins, and bass straps. All of these are excellent for a wide range of physical and emotional issues and just getting you relaxed and blissed out. At the Sound Healing Research Foundation, you can find over 1,000 clinical and student papers categorized for easy searching. You will also find the Medical Sound Association with over 1,000 doctors and sound therapists meeting bi-monthly to create treatment plans for a wide range of issues. These 30-page treatment plans are an excellent resource if you're working on a specific issue for yourself or a client. Check out medicalsoundassociation.com, where you can also join and attend our bi-monthly meetings. At the Sound Therapy Center, we have a list of over 40 issues and all the things that we offer for each issue. These include music and frequency CDs or downloads, treatment plans from the Medical Sound Association, and treatments we offer in person and online in the Sound Therapy Center for each specific issue. Finally, we have the Sound Education Association. We got a grant for $100,000 to bring our curriculum into 2 Montessori schools. With over 100 teachers and administrators, we've created over 2,500 exercises for kids from 3 months up to 18 years, all based on the books on brain development. We're now expanding the curriculum and creating schools around the world. Check out soundeducationassociation.com, where you can also join for free. You can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. You can also email us at david@soundhealingcenter.com or call 415-777-2486. Now enjoy the podcast. Hi there, I'm David Gibson. Welcome, welcome. Let me tell you about some things that are happening here at the Institute. First, we have another open house on Sunday, June 28th from 1 to 5 p.m. And it's all about how sound works physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And we also put everybody on the sound table so everybody gets blissed out and you learn how it all works. And then we have our summer intensive starting this Tuesday here in Sausalito. It's June 9th to the 19th, 10 to 9:30 every day. It's half of our certificate program. And we got about 4 instructors teaching. And it's profound. It will change your life forever. And you'll learn how to actually do sound healing, do treatments, how the whole universe works based on vibration, and how to get to a place of peace over and over, and how to do this as a career. We also have the whole program online starting June 25th is the next start time, and it works really well. We also have a program starting September 8th in person as well. The in-person part is half and half online, half in person. So you could start that online part anytime. We also have tons of individual classes. You don't have to do the whole program. So you can check that out if you go to soundhealingcenter.com/events. And then we have a recording program, which you could still jump in. The next one's not till October. You could also watch videos. It's all about recording, mixing, and producing. And then we also have our Mount Shasta Sound Healing Retreat, August 1st and 2nd. We're at the Crystal Tone Shop. And then the second day, we go up on the mountain and bliss out with the Lemurians up there and other beings. And then we've got the voice analysis software training. If you buy it by around July 10th, you can take the training on July 12th. And that's all about using the voice to assess exactly what's going on with you as well. So again, you can find everything at soundhealingcenter.com. So today, we're going to be talking about musical intervals as the structure of the relationship of every single thing in the universe. Let me say that again. We're going over musical intervals, the relationship between two notes, as the relationship of every single thing in the universe. That's right. And it really is. You know, the relationships of two notes is a feeling or a state of consciousness. So you can view the whole universe as states of consciousness in the relationship of things. So let me first show you the different musical intervals. I'm just going to go over them briefly because I'm sure there's a lot of you that know them in detail. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But here are the musical intervals from my book. So the first one is when you have two of the same thing. Two of the same note. Let me pull up my virtual piano and actually play this. So if you got two of the same note at the same time, which is really, really harmonious. Then we've got the octave, which is double the frequency or half the frequency. It's the same note. So you have many octaves on a keyboard. So if this is a C, an octave higher, which is double the frequency, an octave higher, double the frequency again, double frequency. And those are very harmonious. It's like perfect harmony for the octaves. Then we have the musical fifth. The musical fifth is really, in music, is the most calming and sweet musical interval there is. Unison and octaves are very cool, but they don't really go anywhere. They just hang out. You just hang out there, and they're kind of cool and sweet and beautiful. Right? Whereas a musical fifth is a beautiful ratio. It sounds really sweet, and it's also it leads you back to home. So when you play the high note, the fifth. I'm sorry, messed it. When you play the musical fifth, it's like you don't want to stay there. It's like there's a little inertia that makes you want to go back home. I found the musical fifth is really good for the breath. In breath and out breath. Right. Let's see what they say as far as the different feelings. You can just feel it yourself. But here's the different information for these intervals. So the unison is the sameness. It's complete harmony with the fundamental sound, represents serenity and perfect peace. The octave is restful, grounding, meditative, calming, and it's called the yin and yang interval. It's
the male and the higher note being the female or feminine. And then the perfect fifth is healing while stimulating power and movement. It evokes feelings of opening, home, steady, sturdiness, completeness, joy, and healing. And then we have the perfect fourth. The perfect fourth is really interesting because it doesn't really have much inertia to come back home. I remember talking to Stephen Halpern, and he says he uses the musical fourth a lot because it kind of leaves you just floating without that urgency, zero urgency to have to come home. So here's the musical fourth. You can go, just kind of float there and not really have to go anywhere. And if you come home, it's cool. All right. So the musical fourth is often referred to as suspended. It's airy and evokes feeling of serenity, clarity, openness, and light. It's also like an ancient trumpet alarm. The major third is an interval considered to have possessed great sweetness, and it's the main interval that kids sing. Ma-da-da. Right? When they're kids, it's like the first interval that kids commonly come up with. Let's see, here's the third. Yeah. Da, da, da. Then there's the major second. Now, the major second's a little unstable, wants to be resolved. It's got some inertia. It's rousing, wakening, hopeful. Sometimes they say it's actually dissonant. Whoops, I see where I'm starting here. You play at the same time, it still sounds a little dissonant, right? But some people see dissonance as just a binaural beat rhythm. Whoa, whoa, whoa. If you play those two that are right next to each other, you'll hear a little rhythm. No, 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 no. Right? Or some people just see it as activating and moving energy. Then there's all, I'm not going to go through all of these, but here's the minor second, which is really dissonant. Then there's the, oh, there's a couple others I should show you. Let's see. Then the major sixth, dreamy and full of possibility, sad, sorrowful, and weeping. Oh, here we go. There's the major sixth. And then there's the minor six, which is the closest to the golden mean ratio. And it's also used in love songs as well. Oh, I forgot to mention the minor third, especially going down, is commonly used in for love songs. It's very common in love songs. So if you're going down like this, it's a little sad, right? A little sad. Oh, there's one other I want to show you, which is the seventh. It really has a lot of inertia. You don't want to hang out there. It's like not resolved at all. It's like it want to go somewhere, especially wants to go to the octave. Ta-da, right? So it's got a lot of movement in it. It's got a lot of inertia, right? So anytime you can play these one at a time, one note after the other, that is, or you can play them both at the same time and you get the actual intervals that way. So each one of these, especially when you play them at the same time, are going to be a certain feeling. And they range from completely sweet and harmonious to completely dissonant. Right? So you can see everything in the universe as the relationship of two things as either really harmonious or really dissonant. They get along or they don't get along. So there's so many different aspects in nature that actually have multiple things in them. Right? Now, when you look at these musical intervals, they precisely translate to ratios, mathematical ratios. I'll just show you a few of them. Actually, they were on that previous document, but here are the main ones. The octave is 2 to 1. So if you have a frequency, whatever frequency you have, you double it, you get the octave. So 100 hertz or 200 hertz would be the octave. A perfect fifth is 3 to 2, 1.5. So you take 100 hertz, it would be 150 hertz would be the musical fifth. And then the perfect fourth is 4 to 3, 5 to 4 for the major third, and minor third is 6 to 5. So they're mathematical ratios. So the intervals already translate to math really well. And just recently, I just did a whole thing on showing the actual musical intervals in sacred geometry. So if you have a triangle where one side is 3 lengths and another side is 2 lengths, that's a musical fifth. So that actual distance ratio is exactly the musical fifth. So we can look at ratios of any 2 lengths of anything as an actual musical interval. Now, I talk about, and we've talked about this many times in the show, the hierarchy of vibration, that everything in the universe is made up of music at all levels of reality. But music is made up of 4 different levels. And I call it the hierarchy of vibration. It's really the hierarchy of music in all vibration. So the first level is pure frequencies. A bunch of frequencies creates a timbre or a sound or a tonality, which is simply a bunch of musical intervals, right? But then the third level is when you have musical intervals in music, like I was just playing, where you got one note compared to another note. And the fourth level is changing musical intervals over time, changing notes and intervals over time, which is music. And also you get rhythm and melody in that as well. So this, what we're talking about today mostly is musical intervals part, the part with no time, without actual mel. We're not talking melody or music. We can get into that, but we're not going to get into that today, because that's a whole nother level of changing melody or changing musical intervals over time. Now, I want to make the distinction though, because there's two realms of musical intervals that we work with in the world, or or that God created, I could say. Right? The first is the harmonic structure. Remember, I said the frequency, a timbre is a bunch of frequencies. Well, if I sing one note, I'm singing over 100 different notes at once, 100 different frequencies. And every one of those 100 frequencies in that one sound are musical interval relationships to each other. So there's 100 musical intervals in this one sound. It's really mind-boggling. If you play a gong, there's 1,000 musical intervals in that one sound. There's so many different frequencies in the gong. So it's like we're talking sounds which are made up of a bunch of frequencies which are musical intervals. One sound, we're not talking when you play, if I just go woo, or hit one note on a gong or any instrument, it's a harmonic structure. It's a musical interval party, right? It's got 100 musical intervals in it, which is 100 states of consciousness. So any instrument, if you hit a Tibetan bowl, it's got a certain conglomeration of musical intervals in it that create its sound. And every sound has a combination of frequencies except pure tones, which are like tuning forks. Right? So what's interesting is the sounds that are more activating, like gongs and bagpipes and saxophone and clarinet, things that are a little edgy, those have a dissonant chord in the actual musical intervals within the sound, like the minor second we just played, right? Bang, dang, right. It's a little dissonant, which makes it activating and really good for clearing energy. Whereas a harp has a beautiful musical interval relationship within the harmonics that make up that one sound of one pluck on the harp. So now you've got a beautiful chord, bing, right? That actually creates a beautiful musical interval relationship that creates a sweet harp pluck, which also is similar in acoustic guitar and a wood drum, where you actually play the wood. It's a really warm sound. So that's the realm of musical intervals and sounds. But let's talk more about the relationship of two things, which is the relationship of two sounds that have their own musical intervals within them, which is really what we just did on the piano here, right? So if I play this sound here, well, technically, that's like 30 different musical intervals right there that make up that one piano sound. And then here's another 30 different musical intervals that make up that sound. But here, we're now talking at this level, the relationship of two timbres, which are a combination of frequencies, right? Okay. So one note to another, which is what the way we normally think of musical intervals, which, okay. So now let's look at all the different things out there that have relationship between two frequencies. Everything in the universe is a vibration. Everything in the universe has a frequency, its frequencies that it prefers to vibrate at. So everything has a musical interval relationship when you have two things. So first, we can look at nature. You've got the frequencies of the elements, but when you have multiple elements, you get or frequencies of the elements or of the atom. When you have multiple atoms, you actually get a molecule. So H2O is two harmonics of hydrogen and one of oxygen. And hydrogen and oxygen have a very specific musical interval relationship that creates that water with, so that's the frequencies within it. But then there's also the relationship of all of the elements to each other. So you could look at the relationship of water to fire, water to air, water to earth. All the relationships of all the elements to each other create a musical interval. And in Chinese medicine, it's a big deal to actually have a balance of all of those musical interval relationships, right? So it totally maps out into the actual elements that we all know. But it's also in color. You've got the relationship between two colors can be very beautiful, harmonious, right? Like a musical fifth or even an octave, or they can actually be very dissonant, like a red and green, right? They don't really go together so well. They're kind of fun for Halloween, but they don't really go to, not like a purple and a teal, right? They go together, or even a red and orange are even more harmonious. So you can look at, and people that do artwork are really into this, the way colors work together or not, which can create more dissonance or more harmony in the actual painting. So colors totally follow this. It's also, again, the same thing in geometry, not only the relationships of the sides of the geometry, but also the relationship of one geometry to another geometry. They've got a musical overall frequency and a musical interval relationship between those overall frequencies and all the parts. So it gets very complex when you start looking at two geometries. You can also look at it in the quantum field, which is mostly intention, thought forms, and also your soul. So you could look at the frequency of two intentions, for example. You could have an intention of love, which has a very specific frequency and energy, and the frequency of wisdom. And when you put love and wisdom together and hold the intention of two things at once, love, wisdom, energetically, two things at once, then you've got a musical interval relationship between those two that creates a certain state of consciousness based on that musical interval relationship, which are the feelings we just went through earlier, right? States of consciousness are just feelings, if you look at it that way. But then it gets really detailed when you look at the planets. Oh my God, the planets have a full range. It was actually Kepler and Pythagoras that actually came up with this whole thing about the music of the spheres, which is actually looking at the musical relationships between the planets. Now, Kepler actually came up with this whole thing where he looked at the orbital velocity between two different planets, and he found that they actually have minor thirds in the relationship of the orbits, the speed of the orbits to each other. There's a minor third, a major third, and a perfect fifth between various planets. So he saw the whole solar system as a relationship. You could also look at it this way, the orbital resonances. So the Jupiter's moon has the orbits of Io, Europa, and Ganymede. The Io does four orbits in relation to the Europa doing two orbits in the same time, and Ganymede in what does one orbit. So that's a 4-to-2-to-1 relationship, which is all octaves. So it's like perfect harmony. Those three moons around Jupiter are in perfect octave relationships. But you can also look at the actual spin of planets, and they actually have very specific musical interval relationships between them. Some of them are a little weird. Some are really cool. Very cool. Let me show you the Earth and the Sun relationship. Okay. So actually, these are the Earth and the Sun not spinning, but the relationship of them going around the Sun. So the orbital relationship. Check this out. So here we've got the frequency of the Sun is 126.22. Oh, God, don't ask me how they got that frequency. Okay, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. So they actually take the actual spinning of the Sun. They put 1 over it, which is, you know, a really big number, and then they octavize it up. Same with the Earth. They take the number of seconds it takes for the Earth to go around the Sun, so it's going around instead of spinning, and they put 1 over that millions of seconds and octavize it up. That's the way they do it, right? And so the relationship between the Sun and the Earth is 126.22 and 136.102. Those, if we look at our our frequency chart, okay, we got 126.22. Okay, here we go. What's it closest to? It's closest to a beat. And 136, which is a D, a C sharp. So a B and a C sharp. Oh my God. You want to hear that? Yeah, well, yes, we do. Okay, so here's a B, and here's a C sharp. So that's the ratio between the Sun and the Earth in an interesting way. That's really cool too. So we can also actually play both of those at the same time. Here's an actual, I'm going to have one in the left ear, one in the right ear. If you have headphones, this will sound really cool. Check this out. That's really interesting. The relationship between the Sun and the Earth in rhythms. Rhythms are also musical interval relationships. If you have a rhythm that's like 1 beat per second and you double it, that's 2 beats per second. That's an octave. If you do 1.5 beats per second, that's a musical fifth. So rhythms have, still have musical intervals in them, in the relationship between them as well. Right? So there's this whole realm of musical intervals relationships in between the planets and probably between solar systems and galaxies and everything, I would imagine. I mean, you can also look at the golden mean as a musical interval relationship, which we did, a few months ago. It is a unusual musical interval, but it still is the relationship of the parts of the golden mean and Fibonacci. Okay, so the coolest thing about musical intervals, though, is how it manifests in the body. If you look at every frequency of every cell and measure it, which can be done, you can actually measure it with a light or electron microscope. Electron microscope you do in vitro outside of the body, and light microscope you can do in the body. And then you can actually look at the musical interval relationships of all of the cells. Especially cool to look at the musical interval relationships within one of the 12, 11 medical systems, which are circulatory, respiratory, nervous system, endocrine system, all the different systems that doctors work with. So now we believe very clearly that I would bet on this one, I would bet, right, that the musical interval relationships of all of the parts of the body, especially within one system, are very harmonious. We know this is like the only thing we know for sure about the body. It's in complete harmony. Everything's working together in complete harmony. It's not like it's going, eh. It's not like these dissonance. Maybe your digestive fluids are going, eh, right? But the rest of the body, the relationship of all the parts is in beautiful working harmony. So everything's flowing. It's really harmonious. So we're looking at finding the musical interval template of perfection between all cells in the body, all 70 trillion, all 70 trillion, right? And then, since everybody's frequencies of the parts of the body are a little different, that's why nobody ever agrees on anything for any frequency for anything in the body. But the relationships of the parts of the body are the same, we believe, for each person. We all kind of look like people, so we all have that same template. You could even say the overall frequency of the heart is a musical interval relationship to the overall frequency of the liver. So you can look at the cellular level of the relationships, or you can look at the organ relationships. So physically, we are a harmonic structure. We are a combination of musical intervals in very detail. And if we find those musical intervals and play them to the body, I bet. I bet, I bet, I bet. We could actually heal every disease there is. At least that's what my guides say. I'm like, really? Yes. Okay, cool. Now, you can also look at it emotionally. I mean, we commonly have conflicts in our emotions. Probably the most basic is when you have a breakup. It's like, oh, I hate you. Oh, but I love you at the same time. I hate you. I love you. Right? So there's this dissonance and harmony at the same time, which is a musical interval relationship, and that can be really dissonant and cause really a lot of problems. Right? But often we also have interval musical interval relationships within our emotion that are very sweet. Maybe you have love and love and peace, right? Love and wisdom, for example. There's many musical and we might shift from one harmonious interval to another, or one harmonious frequency of a emotion to another between those musical intervals. Or what's really cool is to actually do the jump from a chaotic frequency of like anger or despair or fear, to move it up to a harmonious frequency of a stable, consistent frequency of love or gratitude or compassion, right? What's interesting is there's another component they'll throw in here, a little detour. There's another component where you have frequencies that aren't humming consistently, like fears, like, right? It's like a chaotic vibration. So it doesn't create a very good musical interval with love. because love is it doesn't create an interval at all because it's not really a frequency, it's a chaotic vibration. And so you've got love and then fear together, and it's not really a clear musical interval relationship. It's not until you get to the coherent frequencies of compassion and gratitude and love and all the positive emotions that they're stable, consistent frequencies that work with other musical intervals. So, maybe you're doing this little song where you're going from one interval to another. You're going on a roller coaster of gratitude to compassion to love to joy. And those are all beautiful musical interval relationships between each other. Right? It's nice when you don't have conflicts in your emotions, but we also have conflicts in our thoughts, where we get to dead ends and we don't know where to go, or we have stress in our thought. Oh, what am I going to do? Right? So there can be the chaos. But then when you have focus, that is harmony, especially when you have clear thoughts and you don't lose track from one thought to another. So there's a very specific progression of melodic from one end. Through one interval to another, to one thought to another. Whereas commonly, I know I do. I mean, we get lost. I know sometimes I'm like, what was I thinking? Where was I 5 minutes ago? I don't even remember what I was thinking 5 minutes ago. Whereas when you get to that state of higher consciousness where you're present with every moment and every past thought with the future thoughts, where you're aware of all of it at once, you never lose track. Hopefully one day for all of us, right? Then you are totally seeing all the musical interval relationships between all the thoughts, and hopefully they're harmonious. Right? There's even at the spiritual level, you could look at that as gratitude, compassion, love. But when you look at the frequency of souls, they say twin flames are when you have a soul that's split. And so that would be the same frequency, same in unison, the unison musical interval relationship. Or if you have a a soul relationship or a soul brother or soul, it's like you're in perfect harmony. I've also found that it's interesting when people are the same home note, which is mostly the physical body, there's instant chemistry. And when someone's a nice musical interval relationship, oh, I had a wonderful relationship with an F, which is a complete musical fifth to my note. So to have a nice musical interval relationship versus a dissonant one in a relationship with somebody is very cool. This gets really complex because you could actually look at the musical relationship between the physical body parts and the emotions, right? You can look at the relationship between the mental body and the emotion, the thoughts and the emotion. You can look at the relationships between the spiritual realm, gratitude, compassion, love, or your soul in relationship to the physical, mental, emotional, which are musical interval relationships. Holy moly, right? We're just like one big timbre. One big musical interval relationship. And the whole universe is that way. The whole universe, everything is in relationship to everything else based on musical intervals, either harmonious or a little dissonant. But from the higher perspective, there's no dissonance. It's just perfect. You could say it's just activating energy that helps us move. Dissonance is really good to create movement and get us out of stuckness. So if you see it that way, it's not bad because some people think, oh, bad chord. Nah, bang. No, it's beautiful for actually getting us to do movement and get out of being stuck. Right? It can also be really good for stuck energy in the body. I know. Right? Actually break up stuck energies. Dissonant musical intervals are really good for breaking up stuck energy. That's why all the dissonant intervals within a gong are so good for breaking up stuck energy. Right? Okay, so these are the multiple levels, but check this out. Let's take it to a whole nother level now. So What we're doing is we're doing a whole program. Oh, there's a whale out there in the ocean in front of me. Oh my God. The musical interrelationship between a human and a whale. Oh my God. Okay. So we're doing a whole program for the kids, and we're actually introducing this musical interval relationships and frequencies and musical flow into every subject matter, whether it's math or physics or chemistry or biology, every subject matter. So every subject matter, you can see musical interval relationships within it. And then it makes it more coherent because now the whole universe is basically music, right? Which has these musical interval relationships. Let me explain. I'll go ahead and show you here. This is really interesting. And this is going to be part of our curriculum for the kids that we're creating, right? So if you look at mathematics, musical intervals are simply ratios, one number to another number, proportions or fractions. And they correspond directly in math. In physics, you can also think of musical, it's harmony or not harmony. It's a resonance between frequencies. Everything is vibration. So it's the harm whether they resonate or they're a dissonant relationship. And there's also constructive and destructive interference where two frequencies overlap and create they add together or they break down. It's really directly connects to wave mechanics. In chemistry, you can look at molecular cords, the bonds between two atoms, the harmony of atomic relationships, which is total harmony often, or not, where they don't stick together. Biology, it's a relationship between organs and systems. So all the organs in the body in relationship to all the other organs, like we're talking about. It's an orchestration of living systems. In psychology, it's a relationship between thoughts and feelings. Communication, it's an understanding between two people, right? Or not, a little dissonant, right? A little conflict. Social science, it's healthy relationships between people. Society becomes a large musical ensemble. It's really about groups of people. The musical interval relationships of groups of people and those relationships. It can be individual, but also groups. History, alliances, and cultural change. That's also groups that actually create and change history over time, which is a musical flow. Then economics, balanced exchange, a equal value for each thing being exchanged in economics. That's a harmonic musical interval relationship, or where it's dissonant, where one is taking more than the other. Environmental science, relationships between species. Art, relationship between shapes and colors. And then engineering, the parts working together. It's interesting to think of every part of your car is in musical interval relationship with every other part of the car, or anything, even a building. Every part is a musical interval relationship to every other part in anything that is built. In computer science, it's the integration between systems, the relationship of systems within, I mean, you can also look at that as digital zeros and ones, right? The relationships of the zeros and ones. Physical education, it's the coordination between the muscles or between teammates. In ethics, it's the right relationship with others or not, right? Philosophy, relationship between ideas. Oh my God, they go off the deep end in philosophy, the relationship of all these unusual different ideas that you don't normally get put together. And then, as we talked about in medicine health, it's a coordination between cells, organs, and parts. By the way, also, you can even look at the musical interval relationships of the parts of the cell. You can even look at the musical interval relationships between a neutron and electron. They've all got different frequencies, and not to mention all the relationships of the elements, which some people have actually figured out, all the different elements besides earth, air, and water, all the different elements in chemistry. Okay. So, every relationship of any two things in the universe, to crystals, to plants, to people, to souls, to planets, are musical interval relationships that are either beautiful or dissonant. So you can see the whole universe in this way. Our instructor, Randy Masters, this is the way he sees the universe. Because now you can take the relationship of anything in the universe and bring it into your body and feel it as a chord, the relationship between two sounds or more than two sounds. So what I've done is I've found that the musical fifth is the most beautiful musical interval relationship there is for music. It's really, there's nothing sweeter. So what I did in my song Awakening is I used mostly the musical fifth. Right? And so I want to end with that and have you check it out and enjoy how harmonious this is. Now, this is tuned to me, to my B flat, but the notes that I'm using in there, mostly it's a drone, so it's the home note of B flat, then it goes up to the musical fifth of the B flat a lot, right? So notice the harmony in this, right? Let me share my sound only. Okay. Enjoy this. Fast forward. Okay, here we go. Enjoy. So look at everything in your world and notice whether there's harmony or dissonance. But know that the dissonance is perfect and beautiful. It's like when the water hits a rock in the river, it creates a little dissonance, a little sound, right? That's beautiful. When the ocean wave crashes over, a lot of dissonance there in that sound. And it's beautiful, right? So you see the whole world as the relationship of what it is. Move towards harmony whenever you can, but let it be what it is. It's all perfect. Hold that energy the rest of the evening, weeks ahead, months ahead, years ahead, and lifetimes. Relationship between different lifetimes is a musical interval. Thanks for listening. Take care. Bye.